is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine and the markets, Ukraine and the economy, Ukraine and global recovery. I welcome Liz Peek. She reports for her column at The Hill. She reports for her column at Fox News and much on Fox Business. The news is positive for jaw. Russia says some troops pulling back from Ukraine border, but exercises continue. Mixed military signals from Moscow, writes the Wall Street Journal, as Germany's chancellor talks with Putin. Those conversations in Moscow, following conversations by the French president in Moscow, anticipating conversation with the president on phone, conversations between foreign ministers and foreign secretaries, all this is generally known as jaw. And it's far better world when it's jaw, not war. So we're going to turn from the headlines that are changing moment to moment in Europe to the market in the United States. Liz, a very good evening to you. We can see the market's rallying, but then again, it's been over this territory so many times. It's digging a deep rut in the mud. So do you measure that the markets are, at this point, exhausted by the on-again, off-again war in Ukraine? Are they responding to the price of oil more than Ukraine? Good evening to you, Matt.
Good evening. I think both of those things are incredibly important. No one really knew how to assess the possible economic damage from a war in Ukraine. Certainly, though, energy markets have been really rattled, and today oil prices are down pretty substantially because there is less threat of sanctions on Russian gas, sanctions on oil trading, et cetera. But, you know, the market has gyrated from paying attention to possible conflict in Europe. And the other major topic, obviously, has been inflation and the Fed. So, you know, investors haven't really know what to focus on. But today, I think we're celebrating an easing of tensions in Europe. And interestingly, even as the PPI, the producer price index, came out at 1%, which was roughly double what everyone was expecting. That is to say, wholesale prices in the last month jumped 1%. And so you're talking about a year-over-year increase, annual rate of almost 12%. That's pretty stunning. And, you know, I think pretty soon people are going to be back sort of on Fed watch, because there is certainly an expectation that every new inflation data point that comes out that's worse than expected, that prices are hotter than expected, that wages are up more than expected. I think all those things really, really pressure the Fed now to be more aggressive. And we've seen that steady drumbeat of rising expectations of what the Fed's going to do over the last several weeks. I mean, now I've forgotten which investment bank is calling for said 7 rate hikes this year. You know, Goldman was at 5, and then it was at 6, and now someone's at 7. There's also speculation ongoing that the Fed will kind of meet this wall of rising prices with a 50 basis point increase in March. Who knows? Nobody knows. I did think an interesting thing came out of ISI, Evercore's economics group, today or yesterday, talking about how when the Fed rate hikes begin, and certainly this isn't the first time in history that the Fed is engaged in a round of rate hikes to quell inflation, you end up with, yes, lots of volatility, which is certainly what we've seen, and some substantial pullbacks during the year that rates are increasing. But interestingly, that first year, almost always the market ends up. And the reason for that would be, I guess, that even as rates are going up, earnings are going up too. And that's what we're seeing right now. If the market really trades on earnings, S&P earnings, which presumably it does, the market is a discounting mechanism for future earnings growth, then inflation is not all bad for companies. And John, we're seeing that right now. Surveys show companies have the greatest pricing power that they probably ever had historically. Why is that? Because consumers are still spending like crazy. They're spending and they're sort of indifferent, at least many people with on discretionary income, discretionary spending are somewhat indifferent to prices, because if you're furnishing a house and you're told that the sofa won't get there for 3 months, and by the way, the price has gone up 7%, you know, people right now are not saying, no, I won't do it. So there's sort of a bifurcation here. The inflation we're seeing is very hard for low-income Americans because the prices of essentials are extremely volatile right now and going up very fast. In terms of the things that came out in the PPI, food and energy continue to be dramatically higher. In 1 month, gasoline was up almost 2%, meat was up over 2%, and lumber, interestingly, is up almost 18%. I mean, so you've had, you know, a lot of things really shoot up. And again, it's lower income, average income people who are really feeling the burden of that. Other people who are still enjoying increasing home values and increasing stock values up until very recently, buoyed up by all that increase in consumer net worth that we've talked about several times, they're spending. And again, not too swayed by the fact that prices are going up. So it's a burden on the economy, certainly. But right now, those cost increases are being passed along by companies, and earnings are still very, very strong.
The Labor Department's presentation of the Producer Price Index looks like a rocket from SpaceX, straight up. I've never seen that before. But then again, everything's unprecedented coming out of the pandemic and the recovery. What is striking to me right now, Liz, is that the market is anticipating the Federal Reserve to move. And you said 5, 6, 7 times. Is that adequate? Do we not need attention also to government spending? Do we not need attention also into what you'd say is a plan, some way to reverse this? Because that blast off of producer price index, that's not going to be followed by a crash. That means that this is the new normal we live with in 22. Has the market taken that into account, or am I being too much the sky is falling here?
No, I think it's an interesting question. There is this probably unfounded confidence in the fact that the Fed has the answers and that they're going to get it right and they're going to move expeditiously now and that they will stomp out inflation or at least cool it off. I'm sure it'll cool it off, John, but there's no question it only cools it off if it takes a little bit of a bite out of growth. And I think that's going to be the trade-off. Everyone's going to be watching to see, for example, there's a lot of talk now about the housing sector. Mortgages have gone up very substantially in the last couple of months. And the question is that going to make home buyers much more reluctant to buy new homes? The answer is so far probably not. But it certainly is going to be something that cools down the rate of growth. You have to assume that. Now, mortgages of 3-4% are certainly a far cry from what we saw in past cycles when they were much, much higher than that. So it's still very, very affordable. But combined with scarce housing stock and high prices for housing, you know, all of a sudden a lot of people are going to be doing their numbers on the back of an envelope and saying, wow, this is not the easy thing we thought it was going to be. So it'll take some cooling off. Generally speaking, changes in monetary policy don't take effect very quickly. So I think what we're seeing in inflation right now is going to continue through this year. Big political problem for Democrats, certainly. But when you combine what is increasingly visible as a wage price spiral, that is to say people demanding pay increases because their cost of living is going up, and those wage increases are now coming through faster and faster. The Atlanta Fed wage tracker, I think, has wages up over 5% in January, I think that was. My guess is February is going to be a higher number than that. I guarantee it's higher than that. And that's coming out through all the surveys, too. Wages are going up pretty rapidly. Secondly, you've got commodities now rebounding. That lumber number is pretty stunning. Remember, that was one of the things that really caught everybody's eye early on, like last year in the spring.
It's when you first started saying, we've got a problem.
That's
right. We've got a problem because you couldn't get
that's
a house built if you didn't pay outrageous prices. Something was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's... You know, that's kind of interesting. It backed off. It definitely did. The price increases, you know, calmed down over the summer, and now they're back again. But that's not the only commodity. I think Bloomberg's commodity index has just been straight up the last month. So that's not comforting. And by the way, on energy, oil prices are off a little bit today because of the lesser tensions in Europe. But oil prices are not being pushed up entirely by geopolitical tensions. It's a supply and demand issue. And right now, OPEC is struggling to come up with the increased output that they promised. The U.S. is gearing up, but so far we are looking at production increases domestically, but they're not sufficient. I think we're talking several million, I think it's 3 million barrels a day increase in demand this year. You know, that's not coming on. So anyway, I just think there are a lot of underlying reasons, housing, commodities, energy, that inflation is going to stay quite hot. And I don't think that what the Fed is doing is going to have much impact before the end of the year. In fact, one of the economists I think I follow, the Evercore guys, they just raised their end of year inflation number, I think, from 4% from 3 or 5 from 4. But most people are kind of redoing the numbers and saying, guess what, this is going to stay pretty elevated.
Now the scary part, are we headed for a recession? Because that would correct the inflation.
Well, not yet, I would say. Again, consumer spending, all the indications right now are pretty good. Again, you've got still those big gains in consumer net worth kind of in the pocketbook. So people are still feeling pretty flush, even though the market has become increasingly volatile and a lot of the tech stocks are down pretty substantially. Nonetheless, I think that's still an ongoing positive. And it's kind of hard to, the thing that worries me most, and I think I'm very attuned to what consumer sentiment looks like. Consumer sentiment is terrible,
right?
And it's mostly to do with inflation. But you kind of wonder whether at some point that's going to begin to impact spending. And right now it isn't. We still have a very big inventory hole to fill, so that's good in terms of manufacturing demand and product demand. And look, let's face it, the economy is opening up still. I mean, there are still a lot of people who until quite recently were worried about going out to dinner in a crowded restaurant or going to a movie theater and so forth. Those things really are changing, and that is a big driving force, at least I would think, for the next 6 months or so. So I think it's too early to talk about an inflation, a recession. I don't see that anywhere in the cards. But, we'll have to watch and see what the reaction is as the Fed begins to hike
interest rates. So we trust the Federal Reserve to get right what it didn't get right for a year. That's the position we're in. We're trusting Jerome Powell to see what we see now, whereas before he told us we were seeing falsely. That's where we are.
Well, when you put it that way, I must say, I begin to think, wait a minute, am I really signing on to J. Powell getting it right this time? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I think right now, no matter what he does, the forces are in play for the next year to see an economy that's growing.
Liz Peek, she is a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, commenting on the economy. The part of the economy that at this point looks to be the happiest is the reopening of America, the recovery. When we come back, are people ready to go back to the office? Is the office ready for people to come back? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.